Okay, so how can you shift your own subtle energy in order to enhance your own life? We'll talk with Cindy about that, Cindy Dale, and take your calls and stories next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Cindy Dale with us as we talk about, of course, subtle energy and healing. Cindy, before we get to the vast calls here for you, how can people shift their energy?
Well, that's a great question. You know, I think there's five basic ways to do it, and some of them are very practical. They're not going to be all about working with subtle energy, but, you know, sometimes we can take physical or emotional action, and it changes our subtle energy and produces, you know, great effects for us. So I think number one is be aware. You know, start to be aware of how you're coming off, how people are interacting with you, what you like, what you don't like, about what's happening around you, and, you know, really inside of you as well. And secondarily, this kind of hooks to it, George, is, you know, reflect on the past. We talked about in our first segment how subtle energies reflect our spirit, our unique and essential self, but they can also reflect our program self, the child self, or our soul, or the part of us that might be more wounded. And, you know, sometimes you just got to plain go into therapy and do the work, or do some of the digging and the excavating that it takes. You know, and thirdly, I think sometimes we have to just plain change behavior. You know, if we do it different, we teach ourselves, we teach the part of us, you know, that's sustaining some subtle mechanisms that we can do it a different way, that we can think it and feel it a different way. But the last two ways are a little bit more, you know, subtle in terms of how do we go into the subtle realm and really affect change. You know, the fourth way is to really use our intuition. And, you know, intuition, I think, is one of the most important and vital mechanisms for all of us to develop, no matter who we are or where we're at, because it's the way we speak or understand or embrace our spirit and higher guidance as well. And, you know, a lot of people say to me that they don't trust their intuition, or they only figure out that they were being intuitive after they made a mistake, or they wonder how they know how they're intuitive. And, you know, you can learn how to recognize your intuition. It's been working, or we wouldn't still be alive. You know, basically there's physical forms of being intuitive. You feel things in your body or emotionally. There's spiritual forms of being intuitive. You just have an awareness or you know something. There's verbal. You get messages or you hear things from people or hear voices in your head and they're not schizophrenic. Or you are very visual. You get signs from the world. You see things and it makes sense to you. You see a license plate that has a message, or you get images and pictures in your head. And so I think developing intuition is critical, as well as the fifth way, which is to ask for help. Mm-hmm. Using our intuition, ask for signs, for dreams, for clarity, you know, and that gets us in that sense of being in the flow or oneness, you know, with a presence that's greater than us, with guidance, you know, and we can shift if we know we're being helped, not just by our loved ones or the people around us, but I believe there's helpers for all of us. So those are the five steps I usually recommend. You know, George, they range from really practical and emotional mm-hmm. to, you know, more mystical, which is really getting in touch with our intuition and realizing that this is a spiritual world and we can have spiritual assistance for anything we're trying to do as well.
Cindy, why does it seem that so many people are either uptight or unhappy these days?
You know, there's many reasons for it. You know, I think basically.
Do you see it too?
What's that? I see it all the time.
Yeah.
Constant anxiety. You know, they either tend toward anxiety or depression or a little or a lot of both. And, you know, the people who are more uptight and anxious tend to be very future oriented. They can't be in the presence of the present and say, here I am, I'm going to deal with what's going on. They're constantly worried about what might happen. So then they're really not creating anything but what they're worrying about at some level. And, you know, the more kind of despairing people or depressed people tend to be more stuck in the past, you know, and reliving even subconsciously or unconsciously what's happened, probably afraid it's going to repeat, or afraid that if they break those patterns, break their thought processes, you know, do things or think things a different way, they're going to be uncomfortable, which they will be. And, you know, I think really, though, it comes down to one of our themes that we've been talking about, George, is they don't realize that things are really more about spirituality and spirit than they are anything else. Because if we can get to that understanding, and I'm not talking about religion, if we can get to the place of really knowing that we're an essential being and we're interconnected, there's really not that much to worry about. Because, well, the worst thing that can happen is we die and we keep going, in very bluntly. And, you know, the past is the past, but if we can take the wisdom from it, you know, then we can change the future.
Let's take some calls here for you. West of the Rockies, Glenn in San Francisco. Glenn, thanks for calling.
Hey, George, how are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
I would like to ask your caller or your guest a question.
Okay.
That sounds great. Hi, Glenn.
Standing by.
If you are great, thank you. I'm doing okay. I would like to ask you a question. If you're spiritual, I mean, out of the gate, and we're brought up that way, and we're all of a sudden afflicted by a horrifying disease that no one recognizes.
Sounds like
how
more
do you deal with the situation?
That's really challenging. Is that what you're going through, Glenn?
Go ahead, Cindy.
Is that what you're going through, Glenn? Is that what happened to you?
That's exactly what I'm going through. And it's, you know, I know everybody that calls your program and has this affliction starts crying, and I'm going to try and not do it. But it is the most horrifying thing that I've ever gone through.
You sound like, Glenn, and you've got Morgellons. Is that what you have?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We've talked to Cindy. I don't know if you know about this, but this is an affliction that has hit a lot of people where they literally feel things crawling under their skin, and they have little fibers growing out of their bodies. I mean, it's bizarre. So, I mean, how do you, you know, and even though mainstream medicine really hasn't jumped on it, there's one study going on. How does someone like Glenn use this subtle energy to help himself?
Well, first, Glenn, I'm really sorry you're going through this. You know, subtle energy, physical energy aside, you know, my heart, you know, just sends you compassion. You know, I can't imagine what it's going through, but I can feel, you know, as you talk, just, you know, some of the pain and the and the questions and confusions that would come from that. You know, like you're saying, you were spiritual out of the gate, so it must seem like you're being, you know, kind of going through the trials of Job in the Bible, you know, where you're a good person, so why are you being tortured with something that most people can't even begin to understand?
And,
you know,
and Cindy, a lot of mainstream medical practitioners will say that this is in their heads. So they point to someone like Glenn and say, no, you don't have this. And I believe they do. But they'd say, you know, you're creating this in your head.
I've had a couple clients with this too, and they have found the same lack of respect from the medical community, which is what happened to people with fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue and PMS and all kinds of things, you know, not that long ago, you know, as a matter of fact. So, you know, it is really sad that most institutions, if they haven't seen something before, they say that it doesn't exist. They will also tell you that if they can't cure it, you know, or alleviate it, then there isn't, you know, anything that you can do. And that's where, you know, I would want to give you some hope and argue about it, you know, is, again, I would direct you into your intuition and back into the spirituality that's so real for you and palpable, that must still be alive despite what you're confronting and what you're going through, you know, and find that place inside to get up in the morning and just say, whatever word you use for God, you know, divine, creator, great spirit, you know, nature, you know, to just say, direct me today. How am I to be with this today? I've gone through some kind of challenging health conditions in my past too, and I have found ways through. Now, one situation I had took me 8 years to get better from. I had a heart arrhythmia, and I was led from thing to thing and awareness to awareness, you know, and it's gone. It's completely gone because I just kind of kept following that path. So I would say stay in that place and that mode, you know, and know that the body's an amazing thing because it really is made out of subtle energy, you know, and when that shifts, the physical body can shift. I'd also really encourage you from just a really practical point of view, you know, to pay some attention to, and this is just kind of more holistic, you know, different bacterial and viral components in here. A lot of these kinds of conditions, you know, need to be treated in the way that we treat my chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia in a way that the ways that work, you know, with a lot of additional minerals, IVs, you know, there's some holistic processes that can probably be very helpful for you to investigate.
Right. And there are some Morgellon self-help groups out there, Cindy, that I think would give Glenn or anybody else that has his affliction some incredible insight.
Good. And that would be important because you need people who understand you. And then it's really important to share what's been helping and what's been working as well.
I think so.
You're not crazy. The other thing that I would say is you didn't cause this yourself. I find in many spiritual communities or New Age or New Thought communities, there's this thinking that if we get cancer, if we get a problem, if we get this or that, that because we're made out of subtle energy, we must have caused it. I believe at least 80% of what happens in our lives didn't really originate with us. It's still subtle energy, but it's contained within programs, and it contains programs that could have originated in our ancestors, the people who raised us, the people around us, in our culture. And so one thing I would encourage you to do, you know, is from an internal to external place, just decide you don't want to carry any energies that are not your own as well. We can only work on our own issues. We can't work on anyone else's issues.
Of the various areas, Cindy, that we talked about, relationships, health, or career/financing, what percent of the people are concerned about relationships, do you think?
Oh, you know, that's typically number one, 70%.
Really? 70%?
Oh, yeah.
And then health, finances, where do they stand?
And then it's usually health.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'd say 20% health, you know, and then about 10% career and finances.
Whoa, I would not have thought that relationships would have been that
it's
high on the
huge.
List.
Well, what happens is people might call me or come in, you know, for a session or whatever, and they might start by talking about finances or health. But you know what? We always end up talking about relationships. Because it's relationships that really are the core, I think, of the other two. That's my opinion from just doing the work that I do. But underneath it, the people are asking, am I lovable? You know, am I worthy? You know, do I deserve love? And typically that's where we land in almost every session.
Let's go to Christian in Los Angeles. Welcome to the program. Christian, go ahead.
Hello, George. How are you doing? Long time, you know, I've called in the past. Yeah, it's good to talk to you. Hello, Sydney. How are you?
I'm great. Nice to hear you.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, not to get too personal, but I'm very, very, I've always had a very nice personality, very loving. I've loved helping people. You know, it's just who I am. I was born in June, so I'm a Cancer. I've just had a problem where in the past, like what you just said about trust your intuition, well, you hit the nail right on the head. Because I've been through situations in the past where people who I thought were my friends were actually being very deceitful and using me. Mm-hmm. I had to let them go. And the problem I have now is that if you've been through experiences where you've been taken advantage of and you were used, and especially abused, I've had a very abusive sister who I cut out of my life because, you know, just there was no love in the relationship. And I'm in a situation now where, you know, it's just, I think, trust too much of my intuition to a point where I've become, like, really, I don't know, cynical, and I have a chip on my shoulder, and I'm not friendly anymore. And I've actually had people say, you know, you've really changed a lot, Christian, in the last 5 years. And also with the fact that the recession hasn't helped me because I'm unemployed. I've been through college. I had all these elevated expectations for a bright future, and all of that crashed. And I feel like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. So what would be your advice for me?
Well, you're going through a real dark night of the soul, and those are really tough and hard times.
Yeah, and I
can really hear, you know, how challenging it is when you are an upbeat person like you are and optimistic. And, you know, one of the gifts that certain people have and you have, I actually call it a prophetic gift, to be honest, you know, just in a different context than people usually use biblically, you know, is that we see the best in people. And that sounds like what you have mainly done in your life. And our intuition works a little differently than just seeing the best in people. It's able to sense all of people. It's able to sense, you know, kind of what's suitable for us and what's not suitable for us, who's trustworthy and who's not trustworthy. And this is going to sound kind of funky, but, you know, a lot of people who have that kind of gift that you have, which has to do with really knowing what's real and what's not, what's true and what's not. It's a spiritual gift. It's a very, very strong spiritual gift. Usually at some point learn the lesson. They can't just use their intuition to see the best in people. They have to also see all aspects of people. So I went through something very similar. I was raised in a difficult situation, you know, decided subconsciously I only wanted to use my intuition to see what was good, went through a lot of disappointments. It's called codependency, you know, energetic codependency, et cetera, you know, and now I'm at a much more balanced place. You know, I've been able to kind of like sense what somebody is and who fits me and who doesn't. So I would say, first of all, pay attention to your body and how it's assessing people. You know, can you trust that person for you or not? Doesn't mean they can't be good friends for other people, but your body will tell you. You'll get a feeling, frankly, in your stomach that's going to tell you, you know, is this person kind of like on or are they off? Are they truthful or aren't they? And that's what you have to pay attention to, because some of what might be happening is you've closed off a little bit, you know, because you don't want to get hurt again or burned again or used again.
Yeah.
And so that makes it hard for your energy system to be open for opportunities to come to you too, if that makes sense.
So
use your intuition and use your body with it, you know, kind of go with it, go with what it's telling you is good for you, who's not good for you, you know, and I think things can turn around.
Okay. Let's take another quick call. Michelle in Anchorage, Alaska, before the break here, west of the Rockies. Hi, Michelle, go ahead.
Hello, George. Hello, Cindy. Thank you for taking my call. I was just kind of wondering how I would keep someone else's negative energy from influencing mine.
Well, first decide. There's nothing better than the power of decision. Internally, all the way through your heart and soul and body, I am not going to be swayed by who they are and what they're about. Second, maybe learn a few subtle energy techniques surrounding your body with light, with colors. Pink is good, not just white. You know, you can use different colors, you know, that give you kind of a buffer between you and other people. And the third technique I always use, I only use two or three techniques in my healing practice, and they're really all you need. I call it healing streams of grace. You know, just decide that everybody outside of you is connected to grace, is connected to the divine through what I just call streams of grace, through what they need. So they don't need to come into you to take from you. So those are the techniques I would recommend.
And they do work. They really do. How much meditation is involved in this, Cindy?
You know, everybody meditates different, George. I can't sit for my life, all right? I walk the dogs, and that's how
you're
I meditate.
Type A, right? You got to move.
I got to move. Some people need to do art. Some people need to dance. And some people sit and breathe deeply, right, and do the whole meditative yogic posture. So I think depending on your personality, you've got to be meditative. You've got to get quiet. You've got to get in your body. You've got to get calm. You just have to find your best way to do it.
Well, you sure do. Cindy, stay with us. We're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM, and we're going to take some final phone calls with you with our split show. Well, next hour we're going live to Belgium to talk to John Lance about some very fascinating information about the Archons. That's right, the gods of ancient history. So stand by for that on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Cindy Dale with us, of course, and the rest of your calls as we talk about subtle energy It is amazing how it works, Cindy, isn't it? It's almost like it's divine providence or something like that.
It is. Well, it's like moving us into divine providence from where we're sitting.
Yeah, it really is. Let's go to Santa Monica, California. It's Dennis's turn on Coast to Coast. Hi, Denny, go ahead.
Hey, George. Another amazing, wonderful show.
Well, you are very welcome. Thank you.
Hey, Cindy.
Hi, nice to hear from you.
I really appreciate your intuition and your sharing about the network of subtle energy. I wanted to ask, we recently had a plane crash in San Francisco mm-hmm. on a nice day. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if you can comment on what must have been going on subtly, energetically.
Yeah, I mean, I've been reading about that, too. It's very shocking. And, you know, life is chaotic. And, you know, this world, I don't think, operates anymore the way it was originally designed to. You know, I think we've really kind of got two systems flowing through this world at the same time. Probably the original design, which is fairly positive and uplifting and kind, et cetera, and then kind of this sort of dark one that I think most of us are tangled up in and that the human, you know, soul keeps on reiterating. What I'm really struck with in terms of the energetics of that event is, frankly, how few people died. I know there's a lot who are critically injured. I feel really sad for the families of the two teenage girls, you know, who were killed. But I think that what we need to look at here is how many people survived. So I believe on the subtle level, there were helpers, there were what you might want to call angels, spiritual guides, you know, people's their own subtle systems and you know, unconscious selves reaching out to literally save that plane rather than create a bigger disaster than there could have been. I'm from Minneapolis, and a few years ago, one of our bridges went down, and we did lose some people. I think 11 or 12 people actually died.
If you count
how many people could have died, including this entire school bus of kids, you know, it's astronomical what occurred. And I've had clients call me from all over the country, you know, right after one of these horrible events, you know, around the world, a tsunami or an earthquake, and say, I was up all night. I don't know why, but I was just praying. Or I felt like I was just supposed to lend my energy to something that was going to happen. So, you know, I think it's one of those chaotic events. I don't know what the souls might have had to learn, if they had to learn anything at all, you know, if it was just like one of those really horrible accidents. But I think that on the subtle level, there was a great deal of assistance being provided to everybody that was involved in the Boeing crash.
Cindy, are you a believer that when your time is up, your time is up?
I am a believer in that. And I also believe that often we have different exit points. So for instance, I was told that at a certain age, I was going to get cancer. And it could be a time that I would die. And I said, do I really have to do that? I don't really want to do that. And I had precancerous conditions, you know, before I reached 54 or whatever the age was that I heard in my head. I had precancer, and I was able to, you know, kind of get on top of it using allopathic and holistic means, and I'm completely fine at this point. So I think that I was told an exit point, you know, that I could decide to leave, to literally die, but instead I chose to work through a number of issues, face a lot of internal pain, and come through it. So we could have 2 to 4 different exit points in our life as well.
That's the way to do it. Let's go to Pat in Portland. Hello, Pat. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Cindy, I just wanted to call and comment on the caller that called in with Mort Gellens.
Yes.
And holistic healing and the energy, the oneness, and just being a positive and let the life forces, it works. I've had it for 6 years myself, and it's miserable. It's lonely, and it's horrible. There's no words for it. The end of April, I started acupuncture with a wonderful, wonderful holistic healer.
Yeah.
And I'm almost cured.
Pat, Glenn will be so happy to hear that.
Oh, I'm just ecstatic. I mean, I actually had to tell her to slow down. I mean, it was working so well. But a lot of that it's like you're saying, you know, she works on your energy, your key.
Working on the subtle energy and opening it up and
exactly.
Removing the blocks. Moving
mm-hmm.
the blocks. Exactly.
Exactly. I just wanted to let you know that, let everyone know that it does work. But you have to, you know, there's charlatans out there, but you have to be careful. But you're wonderful.
Thank you. So are you, Pat. You know, thank you for that hopefulness. Again, I'm sure Glenn is thrilled to hear that too. We all need those success stories. So congratulations to you for continuing to search for what was going to work for you too.
Cindy, give us an example of how some of your friends, clients have used the subtle energy for either health, relationships.
Oh, for relationships? That's a great one. I'll give you a wonderful story. Because sometimes it takes a little more work and time than this gentleman experienced, but this is everybody, every so often you got to share your best of the best. He attended a class. I was teaching, I guess, out in Seattle. And a wonderful young man, very attractive. And he said, I haven't been in a relationship for 5 or 6 years. I absolutely can't meet anybody. And he said, and the women who are attracted to me, I kind of go, no, thank you. You know, like, not for me. And I said, well, maybe you're coming from, you know, from the subtle perspective, you know, from, you know, what we call karma, you know, from that place where you have to kind of keep learning your lessons the hard way and you just don't want to do it anymore. And so you're not drawing to you, you know, the person that's really going to match who you really are, your spirit. And I looked at him and I said, so, you know what, why don't you just decide you're going to draw in the person your spirit needs? He goes, just like that? I said, yeah, why don't we just do it just like that? And I normally don't like to do predictions in a setting like that, but I was kind of come over, you know, with this sense of saying, you know, it's going to go really fast for you. And you don't really like saying those things because you have to cross your finger at the same time. He called me 6 months later. Within a couple weeks, he met a wonderful woman. They had just moved in together. They were engaged to get married in 6 months. And he said, this is it. He said, I felt the change in me when you said, you know, just let your energy kind of magnify from your spiritual self. And, you know, he's happily married today with a couple kids. So
that's cool.
Isn't it wonderful? That's what we like to hear, too.
Let's go to Brian, Freehold, New Jersey, east of the Rockies. Hello, Brian. Thank you.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call, George.
Sure thing.
I just wanted to ask her, as for astral projection or Kundalini yoga or chi energy for the Chinese, is that in any relation to the energy or subconscious astral plane to better yourself as a whole, as a person? I've read that you can see other people in that plane and go anywhere you want in the world, and
yeah, you
can. Any relation?
Mm-hmm. Thanks for asking that question, Brian. There's a couple caveats to working with what's called the astral plane, which is a plane, you know, a band of energy that comes through us. We're in it, we're on it, it connects all of us, it goes past, present, and future. There's actually three different levels to the astral plane. So the only thing I caution people against is making sure that they instruct themselves or anybody that they're working with not to go into the lower astral. You know, that's kind of the deep of the deep. That's where you get kind of some kind of gory and grumpy beings, you know, some of the real lower density and not too kind kind of beings. So you don't want to be flying through there. And the middle plane is much more about human consciousness and connecting person to person. Often that's the place where when we're dreaming, you know, we might get dreams that we're acting out or guides who come and speak to us or that kind of thing. The higher astral is more of the heavenly astral, you know, and that's the place that we want to do what you're calling that soul journeying in or through. You know, you use your kundalini, which is your life energy. It's a form of chi, you know, that comes through your body to empower your body, you know, and then doing that kind of astral projection or looking, you know, kind of with your intuition at what else is going on is one way to go obtain healing, see events, potentially predict futures, make decisions, et cetera. So, you know, it takes just a little bit of carefulness so that we don't kind of fall into the wrong hands when we're doing that kind of journeying.
Cindy, are you marveled or baffled at how this all works?
Oh, I'm am both. You know, I'm actually in awe. I'm marveled. And what happens, George, is every one thing I learn, there's 10 questions that pop into my mind. You know, like that hydra, you just can't cut the heads off. They grow more heads. So there is a certain amount of bafflement that I go, okay, I understand this, but I don't understand these 10 things. So then I'm back to reading, you know, ancient scripture or energy manuals or asking for guidance or, you know, trying to figure something else out. I think it's an endless procession of questions.
I think so, too. Jay is in the Merced, California. Welcome to the program, Jay. Go ahead.
Hi, and thanks for having me, George.
Sure, Jay. Cindy, my pleasure.
I called because, you know, I had to deal with a lot of outside energies coming at me and a family member in my home, and I wanted to know how to clean out that negative energy that's projected, you know.
Yeah, it's a huge issue, isn't it? You know, and I find a lot of people dealing with that. You know, and if they're not dealing with it from a living person, just to put this in here, you know, several people find that they're living, you know, kind of, you know, with what they call, what I usually call interference or projections coming from energies or entities or, you know, consciousnesses or dead people or whatever the correct term is these days. It's actually even more difficult with the living person because their physical energy, you know, the lower and more dense vibrations are coming into your, you know, kind of physical self, like especially the lower part of your body, you know, the higher part of the body is higher frequencies, you know, so that's a lot to deal with and fend off. So we need to be very physical about it. It can be very, very important, like we've already talked about, to eat right, exercise, move, set up a space within your home, make sure that you maintain the correct distance between you and the other person if need be. You know, and in terms of using energetic techniques, the more present somebody is, the darker the colors you need to visualize around yourself. So you don't really want the whites and the lights. You want the dark golds. You want the dark oranges. You want the dark pinks. You want to, you know, even dark blues. You want to literally create energy like that around you because it sustains your physical energy and keeps you intact. The other technique, amazingly helpful, it's one of those handful that it's really kind of all you need, you know, is when you do what they call grounding, which is getting a sense of you all the way in your feet and into the ground. Pull up elements. Imagine yourself, feel yourself, visualize yourself pulling elements up through your feet, but not just earth. When I was taught how to ground, they just kept telling me to do earth. That made me feel like I was in a freaking coffin. Didn't work for me. You know, I bring air up. I bring water up. There's a lot of different elements that you can work with: wood, stone, air, ether, light. You can Google those up, you know, but you need to bring those subtle elements into your body to sustain your energy, to sustain your electricity, so that you have the magnetic fields around you so that other people's projections can't get into you. So that grounding technique, that bringing those elements up, works for me better than almost anything.
Let's go to Patrick in Toronto, Canada. Hey, Patrick.
How you doing there, George?
Good.
Missed you for a long time, buddy. I like your style, bro.
Thank you.
Just want to talk to Cindy. Cindy, I don't know what to say. It's hard for me to explain this, but I've seen so many damn doctors, and I have something, I don't know if you heard of it. It's called social anxiety disorder.
Mm-hmm, I have.
Beyond that, it's just caused me a lot of, honestly, so much depression, I can't even get into it, like, yeah. To the point of suicidal, and it's just, I don't know what to do. I don't know what this is.
Yeah.
I've tried so many damn SSRIs, every medication, part of changes of hypnosis, like, you know, I tried everything, and I don't know how to deal with this anymore.
Oh, I can hear
it. I'm a young guy, and I've always been a young guy, and, like, you know, got along with everybody, been whatever. It's just, like, in the last 10 years, I've changed, and I'm not the same dude, and it's killing me.
Well, he wants to fix it, Cindy. How about some quick pointers here?
You know what? It might not be your energy. The very first thing I'm going to say, I mentioned it to one other person, is that if we do everything we can to try to heal something and it's not working, then the energy that's causing the problem inside of us might not have originated with us. So it might be somebody else's anxiety, could be in your family genealogy, could be in your lineage, could be that you're the kind of person who takes that on from other people to help them feel better, right? Because you're naturally a gregarious and caring and giving kind of person. So it might not be your energy in your body causing the anxiety. The social fear may come from having absorbed so many people's anxieties. Now you don't want to be around people as well. You know, sit down, do whatever it is that you call prayer, use a, what I call a healing stream of grace, literally like an energetic flow, you know, of energy that you can visualize or sense or feel coming or hear coming through you.
Did you say no medications, though?
I'm a believer in medication if they're useful and if they're working.
And they have not been, and I've tried every freaking one, and I'm just tired of this.
I get it, Patrick. I have found if there's an energetic issue, medicine often doesn't work until we clear up the energy issue.
But you have to wean yourself off it.
Yeah, you can't just go off of it.
Can't stop.
So I would say ask Spirit, ask God to help you take out the energy that's not yours. And from that place, like George is saying, think about weaning, but you've got to also put other things in your body, you know, if you're going to go off meds. You've got to put in minerals. You've got to usually get, I mean, most holistic doctors recommend, you know, IV drips with maybe B vitamins, C vitamins, magnesium, et cetera, so that you start to put into your body what it's missing as well.
I think it's amazing how important it is to mind and body to take care of that simultaneously, isn't it?
It is. It is, George.
Critical. Let's take a few more calls here. Patrick, thank you, and you keep in touch with us.
Cindy, please do, Patrick. Good luck.
Give Patrick your website one more time, okay?
Cindy Dale, CYNDIDALE.com.
All right, and you'll converse with people? You take emails?
I do. Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good. Bill in Baltimore, Maryland. First-time caller. Bill, go ahead.
Yes, George, thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Cindy, I once was very good friends with a person that was quite sensitive about picking up reactions from people. Mm-hmm. And I noticed she was always had her hand on your arm, leg, anything that she could draw energy from you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was later taught if I would just take a deep breath and just release it, her hand would come off of me like she was burnt. Now, does that stop someone from being a vampire taking your energy from you?
Well, it's a wonderful technique. So thank you for sharing it for everybody. What you're probably doing in taking in that breath, you know, is you're bringing in spirit. Spirit and breath are the same words in Greek, in Hebrew, and in Latin. You know, you're calling on your own spirit and or a greater spirit. You're filling yourself in, and you're then literally kind of pushing her out is what you're doing. You know, it's kind of like filling in a balloon and then, you know, what that space can't be occupied by somebody else anymore. So that breathing in almost every culture is a really important technique for fueling ourselves, nourishing ourselves with spirit. So you developed or came across a wonderful process for doing that.
Cindy, we are out of time. I want to thank you. You take care of yourself, and I'm sure many Coast to Coast listeners are going to be contacting you through your website. So get ready for that, okay?
I will. Thank you, George. Have a great evening with the Archons.
You are ready. The Archons will be next on Coast to Coast AM, so stand by for that portion, that classic of Coast to Coast.